I'm Arun Vanagopal. Welcome back to The Takeaway. Every year, millions of monarch butterflies make the journey from the U.S. and Canada down to Mexico, where they escape the cold northern weather. And one of the largest monarch butterfly reserves sits in the community of Rosario in the central Mexican state of Michoacán. For years, illegal logging damaged the monarch butterfly's forest, and the community successfully fought back, protecting the area. But just last month, a major figure in that fight went missing. Homero Gomez Gonzalez worked at the butterfly reserve and had been at the forefront of the battle against the logging. When he was found dead in a well near the sanctuary, activists believed criminal groups and loggers were likely to blame. Just days later, another activist who worked at the reserve, Raul Hernandez Romero, was also found dead. These are only the most recent environmental activists killed in Mexico in recent years. As industrial projects throughout the country continue, Mexicans defending the environment have been placed at increased risk for their activism. To learn more about why, we've got Kevin Seif with us. He's a Washington Post bureau chief for Mexico and Central America. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Tell us first about the Rosario Monarch Butterfly Reserve. What is its purpose?
So the Rosario Reserve is really a remarkable place. It is a series of small hilltops in the middle of central Mexico, pretty far from almost everything. But it happens to be the place where millions of butterflies every year, for really as long as anyone knows, have migrated south from the U.S. and Canada to spend the winters. And they land on the same hilltops. They have landed on the same hilltops for probably hundreds, maybe thousands of years. It is a place where, for a very specific environmental reason, holds huge significance. Everything that happens there has an enormous impact on the world's monarch butterfly population.
Now, tell us about Homero Gomez Gonzalez. What did he do?
So Homero, his own evolution as an activist, as someone who was trying to preserve butterflies, really kind of traced the evolution of Rosario in general as a place. So he comes from a family, like almost every family in Rosario, that made most of their money by logging. Rosario is a forested area, historically quite rural. And, you know, his parents, probably his grandparents and great-grandparents, cut down trees and sold the wood, sold the timber. And that's how the town and really the state of Michoacán made its money. That was sort of like a huge part of the economy for decades. Homero grew up doing this. And he was a young boy when the butterflies were really recognized by the rest of the world. So all of a sudden, if you can imagine, Homero sees American scientists come, American tourists come, and at some point makes this transition from logging to environmental activism. You know, I mean, the town really subsisted on logging. And so the idea, environmentalists came and said, you know, we need to protect these butterflies, we need to protect this forest. That wasn't an easy sell. I mean, I think there is still resistance in Rosario. And so gradually, the Mexican government put limitations on how much logging could be done in Rosario. And eventually, those restrictions became basically a blanket ban on logging on the hills where the butterflies land. And Homero ended up defending this ban. But a lot of powerful people disagreed with Homero. A lot of powerful people, including criminal organizations, have links to logging, now illegal logging. And so by defending the ban, by defending the butterflies, he put himself in a precarious position. He knew that it wasn't the safest thing to do. And I don't know if we'll ever know exactly why he was killed and what the relationship was to his activism, but there obviously is a lot of reason to believe that the stance that he took against logging in favor of the butterflies led to what happened to him.
Kevin, I want to play a clip now. Homero would post videos of himself at the Monarch Sanctuary. Here's a quick sound clip.
Ven a conocer esta maravilla de la naturaleza. Son las novias del sol, el alma de los muertos. Simplemente patrimonio de la humanidad. Esperamos.
He calls the butterflies the brides of the sun, the soul of the dead, and a wonder of humanity. Kevin, you met Homero. What was he like?
Yeah, I mean, I think his enthusiasm for the butterflies and for the place really comes through in those little videos. You know, like he set up this Twitter account really as like a one-man kind of recruitment agency to try to get people to come visit Rosario. And that was my impression of him when I met him, you know, like someone who was just immensely proud to be associated with this place, to be sort of associated with the beauty of the butterflies.
You mentioned earlier this clouds of butterflies. And in these videos, it is remarkable because you can see Homero standing there just kind of enveloped in this cloud of butterflies. And it does look quite remarkable when you see this.
Yeah, I actually remember like a few weeks before Homero was killed, one of those videos, it basically went viral, in, at least in Mexico. And it was, I think a lot of people even in Mexico aren't aware of just how incredible this thing is in Rosario. And so he wasn't, you know, he's speaking in Spanish. He's not just speaking to like American tourists. He's speaking to people in Mexico, his own countrymen, and trying to get them to see this thing that he thinks is worth seeing.
Yeah, and I suppose we should note that that particular video was posted just a day before he went missing and possibly was killed. There was another monarch butterfly activist, Raul Hernandez Romero, who also went missing and was later found dead. Do we know why they were both killed? Is there a connection with the two deaths?
The short answer is that we don't. I think these were different men with different relationships to the sanctuary and to the butterflies. I mean, Homero really was a very well-known activist, also was a local politician. You know, he was basically the equivalent of the mayor of Rosario a few years ago. The other man who was killed was a part-time tour guide, definitely like a recognizable face in the area, but not nearly as sort of prominent or well-known as Homero was. That's not to say that he wasn't killed in response to his relationship to the sanctuary, but his relationship with the sanctuary wasn't quite as strong or well-known. I think the other, like maybe the most important thing when we're thinking about the violence in and around the sanctuary is just to say that historically, Rosario has been a pretty peaceful place, actually, but it's in a very, very dangerous state, or a state that has some very dangerous patches. The state's called Michoacán. And it's always hard, unfortunately, when violence happens in Michoacán, and this is true of a lot of Mexico, to trace it to one thing. Was Homero or was Raul killed because they were associated with the sanctuary, or was it something else? You know, there's a lot going on in Michoacán. There's a lot going on all across Mexico. The sort of relationship between criminal organizations and the government and activists and the private sector, it's all very difficult sometimes to pull apart. And that's one of the hardest things for those of us who are really, you know, who really want to know what happens, who are trying to solve this murder, trying to figure out what happened to Homero. It's really difficult. And unfortunately, in Mexico, the state doesn't really help very much. I mean, most crimes are not solved. The criminal justice system is very weak. Both of these murders are being investigated. I call them murders because it looks very much like that's what happens in both cases, even though that hasn't been confirmed. We're waiting on investigations, but I think most people are not very hopeful that there will be any clear resolution.
And Kevin, Mexico is one of the most dangerous countries in the world for environmental defenders. Global Witness, an international organization that tracks attacks on environmental activists, says that in 2018 alone, at least 14 activists were killed. Is Mexico considered especially dangerous within the context of Latin America?
Yes, but that's true beyond just environmental activism. I mean, it's also one of the most dangerous countries in the world to be a journalist. And I think the common thread is that if you are someone here who gets in the way of people in power, obviously mostly criminal organizations, but not just criminal organizations as we sort of think about them conventionally, you're in danger. So it's not as if environmental activists are being, you know, murdered unlike other groups. I mean, this is something that affects all Mexicans who are willing to stand up to powerful interests. These powerful interests here are so often linked to criminal interests. So yes, it's a very dangerous place to be an environmental activist, and we see these murders far, far too often.
And Mexico's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, ran on a progressive platform saying he would help indigenous communities and sacred land. Has he been following through on that?
I think if you ask people in those communities, the answer is usually no, he hasn't. I mean, there is still a lot of hope that President López Obrador will make good on his promises to protect indigenous lands, to protect the environment. But there are a few things that he's doing that seem to be moving in the opposite direction. And so what you see when you travel to places like Rosario and other parts of Mexico where there are, you know, strong indigenous communities sitting on very important environmental land, is that there's a lot of, I think, dissatisfaction with the government, and a lot of people feel like they're sort of left to their own devices, you know, that they're fighting major criminal interests who are involved in logging or who want to grow poppy or whatever the thing may be in that area, and they don't really have the government's support.
Kevin Seif, Washington Post Bureau Chief for Mexico and Central America. Kevin, thanks for being with us.
Glad to do it.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.